Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. Hey guys, it's Kitty. Today I have with me DL. I always do my little research first. Welcome in.
Hi.
Welcome in. I'm getting all started quickly. I'm excited. I read that you were basically a blend of if the Eagles and Adele had a love child in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably one of my audience members said to me that was the best description of my music that she'd ever heard. So I play solo, but I also play in a trio where it's about the harmony and, you know, where the like Eagles influence comes from. But
yeah, no, that made my heart happy. And then of course, following that, it said barefoot explorer, telling human truths through acoustic guitars. And I want you to know, like, the whole barefoot thing, like, I hate shoes with everything that I have. Like, I will always leave the house with shoes in my car, but very rarely do I ever wear shoes. I absolutely don't like them at all. So that really, like...
Yeah, absolutely. Feet in the mud. I love having my feet on the grass, definitely.
I do too. Want to ask you the question that I always open with: is there something about you that maybe other people might not know about you? It could be something quirky, it could be something unusual, or just something maybe listeners wouldn't know.
Sure, thank you. I guess maybe some people might know this about me, but in my free time, I'm a bit of a tree hugger. Mm-hmm. And I've been really interested in conservation since I was a kid. And if you've been on my Instagram for any period of time, you will see pictures of me like in the woods and hugging massive trees and stuff like that. But I'm actually, part of that is it's quite physical, so I do that like instead of going to the gym and stuff. So I'm a little bit of a lumberjack as well, because a lot of it involves, you know, to save some trees, you have to cut other trees down.
I assume that you get super grounded. That's a great place to just get grounded and connected with nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Just being in the forest is so so good for your well-being. And for me, it really helps me. I spend so much time making noise. It's so good to
be
listen
there
to nature's noise.
And I think that the more that we can sit quiet, the more noise. I always am a big fan of the universal, I don't know if you want to call it communication or however it is, but there's definitely a different feeling of communication and things like that when you're in nature, even if it's completely silent to per se human ears. So
absolutely, I agree. Yeah,
so I read that your dad initially discovered you. Have you always want, like, has music always been one of your passions that you loved from the get-go?
I don't remember a time when I didn't love music. I think I was very, very fortunate to have been born into a family where both of my parents love music. My dad was a musician when he lived in London. So my family, my parents moved out of London before they had children. But so my dad played and my mum sings, and I was born into this family. One of my earliest memories is of being under the piano at my dad's mum's house, and my paternal grandmother was being under the piano at her house when I was about four. And she used to play and have these big, she was one of 14 children.
Oh,
so
boy.
she'd have all of these like family get-togethers with aunts and uncles and hundreds of cousins. And I just remember being under the piano and just legs going by, you know. And and my nana, you know, playing music, and she I say made everyone join in. Like, to not participate wasn't an option. And
Right.
she actually climbed under the piano one day with an egg shaker. And I was a really shy child. Like, I was really shy, and this whole, you know, standing on the stage with everyone looking at you thing, I grew into that. Like, I had to learn how to do that. But like, I loved music, but I hated everyone looking at me.
Yeah.
And she would climb on, she climbed under the piano with this egg shaker, and I was like, "But Nana, I don't know the songs." And she's like, "It doesn't matter. Just, you know,
Yeah.
just you have to, you'll learn them, you know." And that sort of encouragement. So I think it was always, I think it was always a dream of my dad's that he would have at least one child that was musical. And he just loved music, and they really encouraged me from a really young age. So I was very fortunate to have been born into a house where, you know, my mum was playing Simon and Garfunkel records to me when she was
Yeah.
pregnant, you know, and
That's beautiful. That's
yeah,
beautiful. Because
just really
sometimes,
encouraged from a very young age.
yeah, because sometimes parents will do that, like the you're gonna live my dream. I want music and things like that. So sometimes, you know, children will find themselves living someone else's dream, but it sounds like you absolutely loved it just as much. And that's beautiful to have that kind of support.
Yeah, I don't think they ever, I don't think either of my parents ever had visions of me being a professional musician. Like, they never forced me to be a professional musician.
Right.
But yeah, definitely, you know, I was in the choir when I was 5. I had piano lessons when I was 5. You know, every opportunity to, and you know, dad, I thought I was about 15 when I started playing, and I came home from an interview years ago now, and I said to him, and they asked me, "How old were you when you started playing?" And I said to dad, "How old was I when you first started trying to get me to play?" And he said, "Oh, about 3. I think you were about 3." So I think there's all of that time. My dad also worked a huge amount, and when he was at home, he would play, and I just remember, like, sitting at his feet, playing and singing with my dad, because that's what he enjoyed to d doing.
Sure.
So, and it was like, for me, it was like, this is what you do when you spend time with people. And it's and it became a way of, you know, between that and my nana, it was like, this is how you show people that you love them. Like,
Yeah.
this is how you express love, is to play music together.
Share it, yeah.
And yeah, before I went to school, and you know, before you learn to be self-conscious and
Oh
worry about
gosh, yeah.
getting things wrong and all of that, before you get
Yeah.
all
No,
of that
that's
influence. But yeah, it was
it is a way that we show love. I find that statement so true because for me, I'm not a musician at all, but music is just such a huge part of my life and listening to music. And I have several friends that are musicians and sitting there, and when they'll share that, especially when they'll share the vulnerability of like writing or trying a new song and it's not going to be perfect at all, but they'll sit there with you and kind of work through it. I feel like there's just that connection that's there that can be built that's not like any other connection. So
Yeah, I agree. There's something really primal about it, and
there is. And
yeah.
I've heard the saying, tell me your favorite song so I can know you better type thing, you know? So
Oh, I
it's like,
love
tell me your
that.
favorite song so I can know you better. It's like, whew.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely something to think about. Is there a
Yeah,
song that
absolutely.
you've done that is more sentimental to you than any of the others? I know that's kind of sometimes hard to pick, but is there one that really, really stands out for you?
Yeah, loads of my stuff is I mean, I'm acoustic singer songwriters right from life experience, I guess. One of my favorites, I think, is Shelter from the Storm, which was on both Beautiful Monday and Together on those albums. I wrote that for my goddaughter. So my best friend had a baby when what I felt was shockingly young to be having children, and she asked me to sing at Belle's christening, and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything that said what I wanted to say, so I wrote something, and And it was just, and at the time I was really mixed up in like commercial, I had like label interest, and it was all very commercial, and everything that was, pressure to be radio friendly and all this. And it was just really, really genuine. And I wasn't thinking about anybody else apart from what I wanted to say to Isabel, really, and what I thought perhaps her parents wanted to say to her. And lo and behold, that really, that really touched other people. And it's been performed and played at christenings and like baby naming ceremonies on every continent now.
What a great gift.
But yeah, so that was a true lesson. That was a long time ago now, but it was she's like taller than me and everything now. But she's great big long legs and like big tall girl. Yeah, big tall girl. But
What a personal gift that is, because that's something that she will always be able to know that story. That's such a personal gift.
yeah, bless her. It was years after the song was released, I made a music video, and Isabel's in it. So
Oh,
she was about, I think she was about 7 then.
I love that.
But yeah, that was really special. That was
That
a
is
really
special.
lovely thing to just
That is
have that
special.
like snapshot in time.
Yeah, that's special.
Yeah.
That's really special. I wanted to ask you about a couple of songs. Do you mind?
No, of course. Go
Okay.
ahead.
So the first song I wanted to ask you about is Searching for Heaven, and is there some story behind it? I'm always fascinated with, I guess, the livelihood that we have and all the possibilities that are out there. And I've been through, grief of as everyone has, but when I listened to this song, I was able to relate to it on several different ways, to where you could take it for a grief song, you could take it for I'm just searching for like the best life ever. And that's kind of where I'm at now. But can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I love that you've said like how you've related it to it yourself. There's quite a long, convoluted story about this, really, but so Searching for Heaven is like a second incarnation of a song called If She Believed in Heaven, which is on Fearless, which was my album, my 2014 album. And that was really, I was really going through, I'd had some bereavements when I was younger. My oldest friend in the world was killed in a car crash when I was seven, when I was 17, he was 21. And we used to live next door to each other, and when I was 3, and he's just one of those people that had always been there. And then one day he wasn't, and I really, really struggled with that. I still do, to be honest. I think to be confronted with your mortality at any age is different people deal with that differently. And it was part of, so the first incarnation of that song, If She Believed in Heaven, was about me like trying to make sense of how to live without Jeffrey, like how to live without just like dealing with that grief, really. And when that was released, it got neither of them took it, but it caught the attention of A&R for Celine Dion and Tim McGraw, and both of them sort of kicked it around. And in the end, neither of them there's no like big banging chorus, or it's not particularly poppy, and neither of them took it, but I felt like there was always something there, and it was worth, so that's why I went back to that song. And then when I was writing Love, Hope, Nostalgia, which is the EP I did last year, I felt like I could go back to it. And I'm working with Shelley Poole occasionally, who is, I don't know if any of you guys in the States would know Alisha's Attic, but so Alicia's Attic with Shelley Paul and her sister, and they are the daughters of Brian Paul and the Tremolos. So they were sort of have this like long history of songwriters and all that. And I took it to Shelley and I was like, look, I think there's something here, but I'm not quite hitting the mark with how to relate this to other people. Because when I first wrote it was very much about my own personal grief, and it's all in the third person, and it was like there's a young girl, she's doing this, she's doing that, blah blah blah. And so the first incarnation of it was all very much was all written in the third person. And Shelley said, I think you have to be brave enough to tell this from the first person, because that people relate to it differently. And I came back to it and I was thinking, with another however many years of heartbreaks and grief and bereavements on top of that, I had a really difficult divorce as well. I generally don't talk about that publicly a huge amount, but it'd been, that would have been a really difficult time for me. And I sort of came back to it in the first person, and everything that you just said, it could be going through any kind of darkness that people have, whether that's depression, whether that's losing somebody, whether that's a relationship, all of the difficult things that we navigate in everyday life. And I wanted to make it wide so that it could be as comforting as possible to whoever needs to hear it. That I think there's a huge amount of value in, and something that took me a long time to, yeah, it's something that took me just a long time to do. I think it's actually acknowledging the hurt that we're all told, pick yourself back up, and it's the number of times you'll get knocked down, it's the number of times that you get up that counts. And I do believe all of that, but I think there's actually we miss out a huge amount of the process, the healing process of actually just saying to people, you know what, my friend died and he never got a chance, he never, and that is really, really sad. And however you dress that up, that is really, really sad. And there is to take the time to just, and I'm not encouraging people to wallow, I'm not saying that you should wallow in it, but just don't choke it down and don't pretend it's not happening, and don't shy away from it. And I think searching for heaven for me, the new version of the song is, for me, I think the magic is really the moment that you realize, actually, I might be able to get through this. So you've had a really, really difficult time, and maybe you are still on the floor and you haven't got back up again, but there's that crack, there's that crack in the door, there's that tiny little shard of light that comes in that makes you think, actually, maybe there is tomorrow, maybe there is a way of learning to live with this pain. And without that little spark, none of the rest of it would come. So there is that, I think in the second verse it says, maybe unexpectedly an angel will come. And like when you're really, really struggling, certainly for me, there have been times I'm like, I don't believe that, I'm never gonna laugh again. I'm never gonna, I'm how in how on earth do you begin to even start living with some of this pain? And the having that little moment of, I think, it I'm not there yet, but it's opening yourself to that possibility, is when the healing begins. And I deliberately left it, I didn't want to make it too specific, so heaven can mean heaven. If that's what it means to you, heaven can be living a happy life. Heaven can be, finding your person, or having a beautiful friendship with somebody, or that amazing walk in the woods or whatever it is that that word heaven can hopefully fit whatever it is that people
For
need to hear.
everyone.
So
So many times people think when they hear the word heaven that it dives immediately into like a religious thing. And it's really, I mean, while it is, it's not, because heaven can mean so many things for so many different people. And it really just represents in the end, like, I think light and fulfillment and just like a happy place. Because when you think about heaven, whether it's religious or not, you think about being complete and being whole and being happy, and everyone is happy, right? And
and
so,
absolutely, and like peaceful and free of conflict and all of those things. And I kind of take the view now, certainly as a writer now, I think so much more about my audiences and my listeners when I'm writing. I think much more about how people are going to relate now, and I'm really happy for whatever it is that I think it means, or whatever it was that it meant when I wrote it. What actually makes me really happy is like what you just said, that when you listen to it, there was something in there for you, and there was and that. So many times people say to me, oh, I listened to this and it reminded me of when, I did this thing with my uncle, or I had this friend, or I had this experience, and it's sparking memories and stuff in different people's lives. And it's like, there's no way I can know all of that. And yeah, I just love that people can
Connect with it.
relate to it however it speaks to them. And
Yeah, well,
that's
thank you so
yeah.
much. Sorry, I'm sorry for your loss, but I am so
Thank you.
grateful for you to share part of your journey with us on that. I teach a lot on one. This is called The Authentic Life with KL, because I think that everything that we go through, whether it's the stuff that we're teaching, the trauma, the tragedy, and all those things, like, as humans, we're taught to dilute our emotions. And like, it's not, you're being too emotional. And I get there's times I'm way too emotional. Like, I get that part. But like, feeling your emotions, that's how you can work through it. And those of us that have been through these situations, when we can find a way to share and connect with other people, I think that holds space for so much healing for so many people. So I appreciate you being vulnerable and talking about it and writing about
Thank
your
you.
story.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I don't know what things are like in the States right now. It wouldn't surprise me if it's the same, but we've got a mental health crisis here
We
in
do.
the UK. Yeah, and there are so many people yeah, so many people really suffering. And one of the things I do now, I have a I don't like to call it a training, really. It's like it's an experience called Mental Wealth, where I go into people's workplaces, and I read some stories from my book. Sorry, that wasn't meant to be a shameless plug, but it's kind
No,
of
go for it.
I wrote.
I'm excited because I'm gonna look for it.
I wrote this book. It's called The Stories Behind the Songs, and it's all of that stuff about, like, Jeff's song is in there. I read some of the I read some of the stories, and I tell and I sing the songs about my experience of running a business and my stepdaughter having cancer treatment, and how I came to, I always used to have this very professional exterior where I never wanted to discuss my private life at work. I had, to compartmentalize really strongly. And just ways of, because the fact of the matter is, you've just said it yourself, the fact of the matter is, you can't be really emotional all the time. But I think to just never have, to never have an outlet, is killing us
Yeah, it is.
en masse. Like, there are so many people who are really sick because we don't have the skills to support each other
Yeah.
in that way.
No, you're right. You're right. And it's the same way in the United States, and the suicide epidemic is huge. The mental health, depression, everything. And while it's talked about as it is this huge problem, there is nothing being done to truly help. And I'm not a doctor. I understand like depression because I've struggled with depression and anxiety my whole life, but I do know that I think people feel that like the healing can start when their story can be told. And that's why like I started this is because so many people look up to musicians, and music is just a catalyst for healing for everyone. But it's like if they have a story behind them and they're an artist, and I'm just me, then surely like you can understand that other people have the same things that it's just not talked about. But that's kind of what unifies all of us. We all experience grief. We all experience sadness. We all experience these things. And we're taught to that we're so different, right? Or something's wrong with us because we
And
experience it.
to feel that is some kind of failure. To feel that is some kind of weakness. You know, I have just lost my grandmother 18 months ago, and I helped her. She was 100 years old. She was nearly 101. And I helped to look after her for the first couple of years, but for the last couple of years of her life. And it's one of the things, of all of the things, I'm going to cry now, of all of the things I've done in my life, it's one of the things I'm the most proud of. That, and to have a grandparent at my age is an absolute gift. Anybody out there who's listening, if you've got an elderly person in your life, go, please, if you're not already, please go and talk to them and spend time with them and ask them questions about what it was like when they were young and let them repeat themselves, because there is a wisdom in people of that acquire age, that you just don't, that only comes from making old bones. And you know, and I've really, really struggled. I've really struggled learning to live without my Nan, you know, and I feel like, you know, part of me is, come on, girl, get a grip, you know. I mean, you know, your grandparents die, it's a natural order of things. It's, but it's yeah, I've really
But
I've all...
would you trade like
what.
I connect with that because my mother-in-law had cancer, and I spent the last couple of months taking care of her until the very
Oh,
last
sorry to
breath.
hear that.
And see, now we're gonna make each other cry. I think that that was the hardest thing that I ever did, but like I wouldn't trade it for anything because you get to learn so many different things. And these people you know as like your grandparents, or they're older and they have this, and they still have some of the same stories that you have. Like you don't know them as people. And then suddenly, they're a little more vulnerable and you start learning that they're people too. And they have all of those things. But it was the most beautiful, but most tragic and most horrible, but the best experience, really. And I feel that I'm so proud that I was able to do that and
Absolutely.
walk away with those stories. I wouldn't trade it, even though it was so hard.
No.
So.
No, I totally hear you. It's and no one can take that away from you, you know, when it's an incredible gift to give another human being, to be there and to hold their hand and to comfort them when someone is scared or when someone is vulnerable and someone needs telling that they're loved and that for now they're safe and they're okay and all of that. It's an incredible thing, and it's actually pretty easy. It's the most basic fundamental need of all human beings is skin on skin contact, and just and pack we're pack animals, you know. It's to be together with another human being.
And some of us, that just comes natural. But I know that there are some people in my family that I'm like, just do this. And they're like, but what? And so some people, it doesn't come natural. And so I guess that's where I'm so grateful, to hear stories like yours, to where it's like, Yes, it was terrible, and I will run through pictures and situations, and I'm like, boy, I miss her. But then it's like, boy, I got the best gift. I mean,
Yeah.
the best gift ever, you know. And it was, you know, equal, you know, both of us, as I'm sure yours was as well. I'm sure she enjoyed, you know, every moment of it. So.
Yeah, it's I was really lucky. I was really, really lucky. Have you seen that Winnie the Pooh little illustration that goes around that Winnie the Pooh and Piglet are walking away, and it says,
Yes.
"I'm so lucky that I have something that makes it so hard to say goodbye." And yeah, and lots of things that people say, you know, that grief is love, and you know, the grief that you feel is the price that you pay for
I say
for
those
the
things.
love that
That's
you've
so
had.
interesting.
And
Yeah, it's the
yeah,
price. It's the price. Grief is the price of love. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah. And I say
and
that
it's
too.
worth
It's
it.
Oh, it is. And in the moment, we'd be like, no, I'm never doing that again. Or like, even when my dogs have passed or whatever, I'm like, never again. And then it's like, here I go again. So it is worth it, but it is definitely, and I hold that statement of how lucky am I to have something so hard to say goodbye to. That is kind of my verbiage that I've always used on that. So
Yeah.
I love those things. So I apologize for getting all sentimental, but I love the conversation and I thank you so much for being open for it. The next song is Wanderlust,
Oh, okay.
and
That's a
that,
little bit more lighthearted.
yeah, it's lighthearted, but it kind of goes into, 'cause that's, I looked up the actual definition that I found was a strong longing or impulse towards wandering. And that's kind of where I'm at in my journey now. You know, I'm older now, my kids are grown, I have grandkids, and I'm like, I just my dream is to have a bus and do this and travel and do conventions and
Yeah.
things like that to help people know they're seen and they can take classes and grief and all these different things.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I just want to go see the mountains. I just want to go here. I just want to. So that song, I was like, ah, this is perfect.
Oh, so pleased to hear it. I just,
Yes.
yeah. And I think that goes hand in hand with the barefoot thing.
Yeah.
But like,
Yeah, it does.
who needs shoes?
I know, I
Oh,
always get, where are
bourgeois,
your
with these
shoes?
shoes.
They're in the
But
car.
yeah.
Just in
Do you
case it
have
breaks
some
down and I have to
somewhere?
walk. That's the only reason why they're in my car.
Oh yeah, Wanderlust. I love to travel, and I think it's partly that we heard this thing about the explorer gene, that there are some people that years ago, when we were cavemen, we would wander, and we didn't have houses, and we would move around and all of that. And there were certain members of the tribe who were like Moana, you know, there's certain members of the tribe whose job it was to go out and find new places to go to. And I think it's partly that I think I do have just a big splodge of explorer gene. My dad used to tell me stories. So when my dad was six, they were called 10-pound Poms. So there was a there were his grandparent his parents bought tickets to Australia, so you could go to Australia for £10.
Oh, wow.
And the nickname was 10-pound Pom. So I think Pom is prisoner of Her Majesty, which harks back to when Brits used to send the criminals to Australia, which is a much less happy story. It's
Yes.
not a good thing that happened. Well, people would get sent to the other side of the world for like stealing a loaf of bread. So when they were encouraging people to go and live in Australia, they nicknamed them 10-pound Poms, so you could get this 10-pound ticket. And my dad's family, so his mum, dad, him and his sister went and lived in Australia. So my dad was six when they left and 11 when they came back. And I still have family out there, but they went by boat.
Oh,
So he
wow.
sailed from the UK to Sydney when he was 6 years old. And he used to tell me all these stories about, you know, about, you know, they were in port in Singapore, like throwing blood oranges off the back of the boat to people on the shore, and the people were catching them. And all of these
Wow.
things just like triggered my little sort of tiny imagination. And I used to draw pictures of maps and stuff like that. And yeah, and then when I grew up, so I always wanted to travel. I wanted to do two things. I wanted to sing and I wanted to travel, and that's pretty
Which go
much
hand in hand.
that
Yeah.
can go on my gravestone. That is pretty much what I've done. I never learned to cook. I never nothing else. I
Hey.
can't do, I've got nothing else. I give pretty good hugs. Apart from that, I can't do anything. And so like I was always really inspired to travel, and as soon as I was old enough to travel, I started backpacking and then got the travel bug that way as well. And I've had really itchy feet. I've had really itchy feet the last few years. The pandemic in particular
Oh,
just really
yeah.
made me. And so I'm writing. So Wanderlust is the first single off the album I'm writing at the moment called Atlas, which is all about my love of travel, and I'm doing
That.
it old school. So I'm writing all the songs first before I record anything else, and it's like a concept album. So Gen Z's probably won't know what that is,
Right.
but yeah, it's the idea that the whole album tells a story. So Atlas is about, I really want to go, now we're leaving, so that the whole album is a journey. That's the plan. I haven't recorded it yet,
Right.
so yeah, that's the plan. And yeah, Wanderlust came out of, again, I was working with Shelley again, actually, Shelley Poole, and another amazing songwriter called Paul Statham, who co-wrote a lot of Dido's first album, No Angel. He's hi Paul, you're awesome too. They're so cool. And yeah, and we were they run these like sort of songwriting days, and I was with them, and they put me together with another guy called Mike and two guys called Mike and Pete, and we were chucking ideas around. And yeah, and that's it really. It's just about, the desire, the desire to explore
Yeah.
and explore and travel. And for me that's quite literal, that it's about I love being on the move, I love train journeys, I love flying, I love actually the journey is as much fun as wherever it is that you're going. But since it's come out, I've really been talking to people about, again, a lot of people who've got health problems or commitments, and it's like, that exploration can happen within yourself. If you're
It can.
I've really got into journaling the last few years. I've got my little journal here,
Yeah.
where you can just, explore and learn things, and even just the way that you look at your backyard can change, or the things that you choose to do with your time
Yeah, I love that you
can.
brought that because that's, I mean, you can. We do a lot of introspection. I think that self-work is so, I don't know if 10 years ago, if someone would say I would be doing this, I'd be like, you're crazy. I don't even like to talk to people I know. I don't know, but I think when you do, and the term wanderlust is just that, whether it's internal, like you said, or traveling, it's there's so much within yourself as well. Like there just is, and there's so many stories to be told that are hidden and
Absolutely. And something that I've noticed, Kitty, in this year in particular, is that women who are at the stage that you're describing now, where like their children are gone, this is not gone, but you're not needed as a mum 24/7.
Yeah.
They're like, that is
Like,
an
where do I go? What do I do?
incredible period of blooming for women. It's just something, I've noticed, that I
Yeah.
keep coming across women with that, and it's almost like a second adolescence, where like we can level, I'm trying not to say level up, but like this is a time when you really can spread your wings and explore, and that doesn't necessarily mean selling your house and going backpacking around Australia and eating grubs, but
Yeah.
whatever it is, it
It
could mean that.
could.
It absolutely could mean
Yeah.
that. But I think it's an incredibly powerful time, and
Yeah.
again, that can be really exciting. I think
Yeah.
it can be really frightening. But yeah, like most things that are worth doing, they're always hard and they're always scary.
Yeah. And I think, as you said earlier, like it's really part of enjoying part of the journey too, because in the end we don't know, like we as humans like to know what's going to happen, but in the end we really don't know. So enjoying the journey and the ride to wherever we're going to end up is really beautiful.
Absolutely.
I also the term wanderlust, the only other time I've used before, that you sent me your song is we have a dog and his name's Charlie, and he's a big part of like all the things that I do. He is part bloodhound and he's part Great Pyrenees. And
Oh,
so
wow.
we're always like, he's a big boy, he's like 130 pounds, and he thinks he's a chihuahua.
Wow.
But if he gets out, we will never get him back because his nose goes down to the ground and it is wanderlust. It just goes wherever his nose takes him. And so we've always used that with him because he is just that of a free-spirited child chasing butterflies, you know, having a good time. And wherever his nose takes him, that's what it is. And so I think that song and me using that, it really connected that the wanderlust is just that of us. Maybe our noses aren't down to the ground, but we're walking forward and, you know, we're chasing butterflies and we're kind of just enjoying wherever it takes us instead of, you know, you having to do something every single moment. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I've definitely come into more of a period of my life where I'm enjoying exploring and I'm enjoying, like you say, going where my nose takes me, rather than, we're so
Yeah.
encouraged to have certainly earning loads of money is, I feel like I'm so sick of people talking about money. I'm just really sick of people talking about doing up houses. Like, there are so many programs about, on the TV about houses and stuff. And like, if that's what floats your boat, each to your,
Yeah.
fine. But it's like, each to your own. But it's there's so much about, like, achieving things, getting on, getting on at work, working yourself into the ground,
Yeah.
to, often to the expense of almost everything else. And yeah, I'm just really kind of enjoying, rather than, it's not that I don't have goals, but it's like I have different kinds of goals, and
I feel that.
allowing a little bit more freedom to kind of go with the flow, rather than, constantly being on the treadmill of like having to achieve the next
Of
thing. And
life and what we're
yeah.
taught that is important. But in the
Yeah.
end, I mean, I just want to pay my bills. Other than that, I don't care. I'm
Yeah.
like, I just don't have to
Yeah.
have anything huge, but I do want to definitely leave my mark and helping other people take up space and just shining light on you're not, you know, you're not alone. Like everybody feels alone and we're not, we're really not. So
Yeah, it's so important. It's
yeah.
so important. And yeah, like I say, when I just to expand a little bit on what I meant by I'm sick of people talking about money. You absolutely, money is an issue
Oh,
for
yeah.
loads and loads of people at the moment. And just having enough, it has become
Yeah.
really stressful for lots of people. And I don't, that's not what I'm talking about, and
Yeah.
I've been there myself as well. Where just trying to get by and getting what you need, sometimes is really, really difficult.
Right.
What I mean is like this sort of constant pressure to, you've got to be a vlogging millionaire, or
The sole
you
focus of is money.
absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely, we need enough, but
Yeah.
enough is all we need.
Yeah,
And
there's those focuses of
yeah.
money. You need more, and it's
And
like, when is
stuff.
enough? Like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote a song just before the financial crash here in the UK. It came out
Right.
like 2 weeks before, and it was called Too Tough for Easy Money. And it, where people, people would work in these really awful, well, in my opinion, really, really difficult jobs, where they give up their whole life for a big salary, and then they would say to me, "It's easy money." And I'm like, "But you don't even see."
The sacrifice that you're.
Yeah. And that was one of the lines in the songs, "When Will It Be Enough?" It's
Yeah.
and like I say, each to their own. It's whatever fulfills people,
Yeah.
is that's our own, each individual
Yeah.
work to do is to find out what that is. But I think we're told from a very young age
I
that
think
it
so too.
should be earning lots of money.
Yeah, I think
And
that people a lot of time, and I mean, I understand, but I think so many times people think that money is what brings freedom and money is what brings happiness. And I get being able to pay your bills. Yes, that brings freedom and happiness, but you know, there are certain things within yourself when you start looking internal that and having last moments with loved ones or celebrations that you get to have, like you can't put a price tag on those things. Like they're invaluable. Like they just are. And there's no amount of money that someone could pay me to take moments away, I guess. And it took me a while, you know, to get there. And I think it's maybe just an age thing too. As we get older, we realize, you know, how precious those moments can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the age old thing, isn't it? Of I think there's the pressure from and that might be family, that might be
Right.
education and all of that to make sure that you're going to be secure.
Yeah.
And then where is the line between that and excess?
Yeah.
And some of the happiest people I have ever met in my life have got nothing,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know. Some of the place where I volunteer, I volunteer at a wildlife sanctuary, and I was talking about being a tree hugger earlier.
Love that.
I volunteer at this wildlife reserve, and it's owned by the English Sangha Trust, which is a Buddhist body. So the part of the some of the people that are involved with that are Buddhist monks, and they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. They're not even allowed to store food overnight. And they'll have a bag with maybe, you know, one change of robes in it or whatever. And some of them, they're the most happy and fulfilled people,
Yeah.
actually renouncing that whole culture, brings a level of inner peace and tranquility that I've never seen anywhere else.
Yeah, that's so
And
interesting.
it's
That is
that is
interesting.
also a really extreme reaction to
It
life.
is, it is, it is,
And you
but
give
you
up a
know,
huge amount, but you
yeah.
know,
Yeah, it
what's it?
is. You're giving up a huge amount, but and you know, in the end, you know, it's whatever each person wants. But I think nowadays that life and then people in general are starting to look at things a little differently. Not everybody, but I do think that the world is changing. And I think that there's this divide coming, you know, from like the politics and all that stuff. And then the people who I would say are more spiritual and just more connected. I think that that line is starting to, you know, become more so, I believe. What kind of things do you have coming up?
What have I got coming up? So it's gonna be December at the weekend, and the run up to Christmas, I have this year I for the first time rolled out house concerts.
Oh.
So people could book me to do I have a Christmas song called The Best Gift Is Love, and it's donation based, so I just go to the places that I can go to and do concerts in people's homes with
How
their loved ones,
fun.
which is really lovely if you do have family members who maybe can't go out, or an elderly relative or whatever. But it's about making memories. It's about spending time together
Yeah. Yeah, it
and
reminds
making
me of how
memories.
you talked about your family at home doing music. So that's beautiful.
And I think that's really where it's come from. And it's again, I think it's a response to losing my nan, that, you know, for a long time she loved Christmas music, and she loved
No.
she, you know, was singing. Everybody's been singing the Christmas carol since they were tiny, or loads and loads of
Yeah.
people. But in her later years, she couldn't go out to do things like that. So, when she was in care, like, you know, it's not just for elderly people, but it's like for families who have
Yeah.
those family members. It's a really lovely thing. It's a really lovely thing to do, and it's a way of making memories
Yeah.
together and having that intimate experience together where everyone's put their phone down and we're doing something, together. So that's a really I'm really looking forward to doing those. That's a really, really lovely thing to do. I've just got some a Christmas party on the 13th with the trio. So that's the first time that we've done that as well, because I've written original Christmas music, and so has John, who's one of my bandmates. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's probably going to
That's
be a less wholesome evening.
all the fans
Where,
just the same.
yeah, it's a lot more mulled wine and mince pies and noisy, I think, but I'm really, really looking forward to that. Thank you,
Okay.
everybody who's bought tickets in advance. You have no idea how much stress that takes out of these events. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then next year, so I'm writing Atlas. I'm nearly there with the writing. I've got a few more songs to polish off, and then we'll start recording in January, and then I've got the album launch for that in April.
Okay.
And the trio, we're also starting a new show next year called the Laurel Canyon Experience, which is about the relationships between, like, the Eagles and the Hollies and Joni Mitchell and Carole King and James Taylor, and like who knew who and who inspired who to write
Oh,
what
nice.
song and all that. I'm really excited. It's like all of
Yeah.
my favorite anecdotes and songs from
Oh.
that era. So we're starting that in April as well.
Music, anything like that. Where can they find your music?
So I'm on all of the streaming platforms. So just, yeah, wherever you stream, you can find me. It's DIELLE. If you're struggling to find me, if you put DL Music UK, then all of my stuff comes up. I'm also on Bandcamp, which is a great place to just it's a really nice place to just peruse all of the catalog and everything, but you can also order CDs from there. So
Okay.
if you do still listen to CDs, and I know lots of you do, you can order CDs from there. And
Perfect.
DLmusic.com.
I love to end the podcast with this. If someone, your friend or someone was coming to you and they were struggling with depression or mental health or anything like that, what is some words of wisdom that you might be able to give them? I kind of collectively ask everybody this just to give everybody different ideas of maybe what may be needed.
Sure. Thank you. That's an amazing question. There's no substitute for a frank discussion with a medical professional. Don't be afraid of taking medication. If you need it, you need it. And just, I know lots of people say it, but if it was diabetes, you would just take the insulin, if you
It's
need
true.
medication. Connect with other people. Find those people who make you feel seen and make you feel good about yourself. And it doesn't matter if that's somebody that you've only known for 3 months. If you've got a best friend or a parent who's not really, who just doesn't have those skills or just isn't, talk to somebody. For people, so lots and lots of people struggle with depression and anxiety for lots and lots of different reasons. If anyone is feeling isolated, or like social isolation is a massive trigger for depression for lots of things. During the pandemic, I started a Wednesday night social chat thing on Zoom, and I still do it, and it's open to anybody who wants a little bit of adult conversation and some company on a Wednesday night. It's completely free. You can come along. Everyone who comes is really awesome. The only thing that I ask is to just be respectful of the other people who come,
Yeah.
and that to have your camera on so that we all know who we're talking to. But
Yeah. Nobody's weird back there with their camera off. Yeah, no, I get
yeah,
that.
it's like I know sometimes people, people kind of
Yeah.
sometimes people don't want to do it, and I think once we know who it is,
Yeah.
it's if you're on a if you're having a bad hair day or whatever, it's okay. But to just have, you know, a complete stranger like lurking, it's if
Gives
you imagine
everybody
how weird that
anxiety.
would be in real life.
I know it gives everybody anxiety, which is why we're having the
But yeah, it's a really, really fun thing. I mean, we generally all of us are music lovers because those are the kinds of people that I meet. But I mean, that was the call I was on before I saw you today, Kitty. So today, what did we talk about? We talked about Tim having Chinese takeaway. We and just like, you know, who's doing. You know, who went to work today and how's it going,
Yeah.
and just general chit chat, and sometimes the conversation's serious if that's what people need. A lot of the time, you know, we're just having a laugh,
That's a
and
point.
people have genuinely made really good friends through that.
I love
That's
that.
one thing that I can do for people that is a practical, you know, human connection thing if you are feeling socially isolated. But yeah, please, 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 please talk. Please talk.
Yeah.
And especially boys over the age of 40, please talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go and check out a comedian called Nick Helm. He talks a lot about about mental health and mental health in men.
Nick Helm.
Nick Helm, HELM.
Okay.
He's fighting the good fight for men's mental
I
health.
love that. There's not enough of it. I mean, there's a lot for women's mental health, but there's just not that much for men. And it's sad because it's one thing to feel vulnerable, but men especially feel very vulnerable and almost to a point of not feeling safe at all if they do talk about things like that. So I think that it's very important for that to be brought to the forefront.
I don't know if there are, and don't be afraid to use services like in the UK we have the Samaritans. There's another I'll find it for you, Kitty, because I can't remember the details right now, but there's
Okay.
another organization here called Give Us a Shout, which
Okay.
is a text service. So people can people if you don't even feel like you want to pick up the phone and talk to somebody,
Yeah.
you can text. But often there are services where, you know, maybe you can, you know, if you're feeling at the point where, you know, you want to contact a mental health service, then please don't feel like you can't do that.
Yeah.
But there are other things around where, you know, having those protective factors like movement is really good. Anytime that you can move, it doesn't have to be exercise, but like go for a walk, go for a swim. Get out in the forest, all of that kind of stuff. Listen to music that gives you catharsis.
Yeah.
So whatever, you don't necessarily just, you know, whack on your feel good playlist. If maybe what you need is to have a good cry,
Oh
you know.
yeah. Move the energy. However you get that energy, you need to move the energy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just I think the whole thing about men's mental health, that's a whole nother podcast. But I'm in the UK we have Andy's Man Club, Andy's Men's Club now, which is by men for men. And I think that is such a powerful thing because quite frankly, women, it's a sweeping statement. Women, we don't understand. And I think that men talking to each other is massively, massively powerful. And that's why I have such a huge respect for what Nick is doing. I think a lot of the time, you know, saying earlier, Kitty, about there like not really being anything for people in this
Yeah.
crisis. A lot of the time it comes back to the arts and
Yeah.
these things, you know, there'll be a film that moves somebody, or there'll be a book, or there'll be a song, or there'll be a comedian, or there'll be something that happens in the arts, where people are getting what a part of what they need
Yeah.
faster than anywhere
It's
else.
true. It's true. It's so true. And I think it does go all the way back to everyone feels so alone.
Yeah, I think it's way more complicated than then yeah, then either you or I can unravel. But yeah, just knowing that there are so many people in the first place, but particularly, I mean, yeah, I only re in recent years discovered that the biggest killer of men over the age of 40 is suicide,
It is.
and it's just not okay. Like, why are we not talk why are we not talking about that? So yeah, boys, please, 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 please talk to each other. Please, 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 please. And
Well, thank you so much. I absolutely enjoyed our conversation. I appreciate you coming on and just being vulnerable and talking openly. It's really been amazing.
thank you so much, Kitty. It's yeah, it's been really lovely to meet you, and I think what you're doing is really, really valuable.
Thank you. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, KittyLynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.